Well, I get up every morning, this being one of those mornings, and jump down and, hey, don't forget 26, 26, 26. Have you guys been doing that, taking that communion? Listen, it doesn't matter if you've missed a day or two, jump back in with us. 26, Matthew 26, 26 for 26 days. Make sure you get that. Forgot to really. Anyway, I get up, I get in front of, I get down and get everything done in the morning and begin to doing some show prep. And I'm telling you, friends, there's something really, really, really crazy going on in America. Can you guys, somebody's blowing up my phone over here. Can anybody tell me anything normal that's happening in the world right now? Anything normal anywhere? You say, well, yeah, people still having sex and people still having babies. Okay, I get that. But other than that, I ran down my list of things to talk about. It's like I could spend a whole week on this and then a whole, and no sooner would I talk about this than this, there's a devil loose. That's what I tell people. There's a devil loose. And it's crazy what can happen with the unstrained, with a man's heart that is unstrained by the Holy Spirit of God. It's amazing where it will go. And I never cease to be amazed at the number of, I'm just going to tell the truth, okay? The number of Christian people that I come across who have no discernment of the Holy Spirit. Would somebody give me a thumbs up on that one? Huh? They have absolutely Amen. No discernment of the Holy Spirit. None. None. And, you know, we all get programmed in a certain way. That's why they call the television stations programming, right? We all get programmed to certain things. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't hate to tell you that. Some of you have been so programmed in church, And the programming, whether it be of your Baptist, whether you're a Methodist, whether we don't do that here, we don't believe in that here. And Jesus said, He warned us that we teach His commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Have we ever lived in a time in America, in the world really, where the word of God seemed to be so powerless? It's powerless. Folks, the word of God is powerless to believers. And is it... What's the reason? I would like to put a thumb on. I like to put a finger on and say, here is the reason why. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I ask myself, has the Holy Spirit come upon people? Has it? Holy Spirit's come upon me, but have I received power? I've received gifts. I've received an anointing. I've received the ability to come down and every day and do this show and have it be fresh. That is a gift. That is anointing. But what's the power? Is there power that comes with the anointing? What good is the anointing if there's no power behind it? Or power in front of it? What's good in it is an anointing if I can stand in a pulpit and preach a good sermon and everybody leave and go home and watch the Cleveland Browns game and not do anything? What good is the anointing if I can preach a wonderful sermon and you never take it and you never exercise it, you never take it past your, you don't even get in the car with you on the way home. Where is the power of America's church? Then we sit around, we laugh. Stephanie, I'm not laughing at Stephanie. Think of Stephanie, our former little pagan in chief. And she's constantly sending me emails about power. The dark side using their power. What's our power? Jesus said, all power has been given unto you, both in heaven and in earth. No, he didn't say that. He said, all power both in heaven and earth has been given unto me, he said, and I delegate it to you. Go ye therefore. And do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the great commission, the military assignment that we are to go. But we have no power. And Stephanie comes on here, and she talks about the high holidays of Satan. She talks about the solstice and the equinoxes and the, the Friday the 13th and the power. Do we do that? What has happened to the supernatural in the church? rather than the fact that we have so commercialized it. We've Kenneth Copeland it and Joyce Myers it and turned it into a rodeo show. What's happened to the everyday power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of believers? What's happened to it? Hey, this is a rhetorical question, meaning I'm asking it and I don't have the answer. But I know this, that we are living in a time, in an era, in an age, in a dispensation where the dark side is absolutely unleashing all of its power. And we retreat inside our prayer closets and pray. That's about the extent of it. Maybe we do that. Maybe every once in a while we'll do a fast. Maybe. Oh, maybe once in a while we'll even be part of a prayer group. Maybe. The devil's kids are out there serving their Lord full time, full power, full fledged after it. And our churches are powerless. I wonder if the Church of Satan shut down over the pandemic. Wonder if they did. I wonder if they stopped gathering. Well, they always wear masks, don't they? So they didn't have to worry about putting masks on. I wonder what has happened. I got a whole program designed, but I'm asking that question, folks. I'd like to start there this morning. What has happened? Now, listen, we have to go deeper than this just to say, well, our pastor's this and our pastor's that. I'm a big boy. I'm a grown-up man. I can read. I don't need my pastor's approval to do anything. What in the heck has happened to us? Where is the power? And do we pray that? Do we say, Lord, send power, send demonstrations, power and demonstrations. Let the world see your power. Lord, let me stand up and speak your word and power fall. Why doesn't it, friends? Why doesn't it? I remember the parable of the story in the Bible where Jesus couldn't do anything around his hometown. You remember that? He couldn't get any, he could go everywhere, man. He could raise the dead. He could heal people. He could cast out devils. He said, I can't do it here. I got to get out of here. He said, why you get out of here? He said, well, number one, you're unbelief. hey, must be power and unbelief. Where's Mark Trump when we need him? Unbelief must be a power source. Negative belief must be a power source. Has to be. Because Jesus Christ himself standing there saying, I can't do anything here. I can't do any. And the Bible tells us, Randy, that where two or more agree, power comes. So if I understand this right, God's already said the power is yours. I've got all the power. I'm giving it to you. And you guys go and do it. And we don't. Why aren't we? Where is the power in the church? Where's the power, Larry?
It's there. The Bible says that it's there. He gives us the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That what's not there is the understanding of how to apply and use that power.
Yes, sir.
That is what has disappeared from the, quote, church scene for decades and decades and decades. Right, discipleship. Using power, it doesn't. You can have the best running back in the history of the football career, world, and if you never put him in a play and tell him where to run and which direction, didn't we have one guy run to the wrong goal and score?
Yeah.
But if you never put your power into use the way God intended it to be, then that power is as useless as a tit on a boar hog.
So, Larry, then why do I have to call Russ Dizdar to cast out a devil? Why do I have to get a hold of Tom Dunn? Why do I have to have a conference to have people come so they can learn, first of all, that there are demons and are devils, there is a dark side, and then how to take authority over that? How can we be here 2,000 years of Christianity and not have any understanding of all of it? Absolutely. Is mind-blowing. But boys and girls, this is the age of enlightenment. This is the age of knowledge. Right now is the, and we, the church, seem so powerless. Stephanie's amen in me. I'm gonna let, she doesn't even have her phone on yet. Stephanie, what do you think? Come in there and give us a lesson. I see you, Reggie. I see you, Ray. Stay, hang in there a second. Let's camp on this a second. What's going on, Stephanie? What is the difference between the belief of the pagan and the belief of Christians? What do you think, Steph?
I believe, Coach, morning, everybody. I believe that, like I said, Satan's favorite is the lukewarm church. He wants you to think that it's nothing. He wants you to, and he's winning because everybody thinks that they're comfortable. Go to church, pay your tithes, you know, do your little things, and then go home and do what you want. And they're not really living what they're talking. They're talking one and living the other. And pagans walk it and talk it and live it and breathe it and crap it and eat it. And they're winning right now because they understand the constant input and output of energy.
But Stephanie, their energy isn't more powerful.
No.
They just understand it and use it.
Yeah. And we are all conduits. Either we're conduits of God or we're conduits of Satan. There is no lukewarm. There is no in between. You're either getting a current from good or you're getting a current from bad.
Mm.
And that's just how I see that.
Wow. Amen.
And the dark side power is real, is it not, Stephanie?
It is so real. It is so real. I can't scream it enough. And no, they did not stop. And no, they did not stop gathering. They gather in the woods. They gather in their yards. They gather all over. These are not just people. People think, oh, these witches, these are just, you know, a lot of them are, you know, the younger, the angry women and all that. People, let me explain to you again. I would go to these festivals. There were attorneys. There were judges. There were sheriffs. There were moms. There were dads. There were teachers. These are people who live next door to you. They are everywhere. Everywhere.
And we call it New Age. We call it New Age.
We call it New Age.
It isn't New Age, though, is it, Stephanie? It ain't New Age.
It's old age dressed up in a bunch of niceness where they think that we're all being nice to get along, just hug and have peace. It's a cat turd rolled in glitter and perfume is what it is. It's a bunch of crap is how they're feeding it. It's the same pattern. It's the same football play. Just with a different uniform on.
Okay, stay right here a second. Stay right here, Stephanie. So now that you've received Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit, what is the difference as you see it in the application of those two powers? Let's say Jesus is the positive power, just for lack of, you know, just for clarity, and the enemy is the negative power. How do those two operate against each other?
It's a constant flux back and forth. It's a constant warring because Satan, literally, all he has to do is wait, as Christians, as humans, just wait for us to get lukewarm and get weak. He's always on the offensive. Mm. He's not on he's always on
the devil defensive. Never plays always. Defense. Is that
he
right?
He never takes a break. He never takes a breather. And he's got millions of minions that are in people that can be used, and also things around us that we can't even see to influence us, to assist us making crappy decisions that we can't even acknowledge because people don't want to believe that it's real. So we are being manipulated with our own feelings and emotions, and we don't even see it, and we don't even want to acknowledge it, and we're too afraid to change our paradigm to see this. I mean, Reggie talked about Luciferians. It is just so deep, and it's in every aspect of our lives. It's in the TV. It's in the radio. It's in the schools. It's in politics. It's in marriage. I mean, look, what everything that's about God and about good and about natural has been turned upside down on its head. Is going to hit us. Satan is not taking a break. Now he's going into overtime because the time is short. And the veil is getting thin, people. Things are about to start coming through that it's funny how everybody wants to watch those scary movies and they want to go watch about the ghost hunters and it's real, people. It's real. And it's about to get way, way worse.
Spencer, pull up real quick my last week's commentary. I want to pull a quote out of this. I'm going to get you all in here. Reggie, hang on. This is a great topic, right? I did a commentary last week called We Have Not Begun to Fight. But I went to a video of JFK, John F. Kennedy, back in 1963, just before he got killed, and he was talking about secret societies. Keep going, Spencer. I'm going to try to find it with you as you go down through. Maybe you can make it a little bit larger. There it is. Listen to this quote from President Kennedy. Highlight it right there. It says, President Kennedy warned us. Listen to this, friends. This whole, by the way, that whole, if you, I should have, well, I'm in a different vein today. All right, I had this entire speech from President Kennedy ready for you. Here's what he said. There is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. Now, we would all agree this, wouldn't we? All of our traditions are being destroyed. And President Kennedy spoke in that speech about what? Infiltration. Infiltration. And we didn't listen. We still don't listen. We still don't get it, because it comes back to what we call a first truth. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I want to pull Mark Trump in real quick. I saw him up there. And Mark, what is, we talked about this the other day, and we just skimmed over it. Even as we were doing, I said, man, I got to go back to that because a lot of people still don't get it. Mark, explain, what is a first truth? A first truth. Hang on, friends. We're seeing. Hang on just a second, Mark. Yep. See, we a first truth is for somewhere along the way, we taught our friends, our children, whatever, to trust the government, right? Trust doctors, Centers for Disease Control, health department. That was a first truth. And what we're seeing now, as we realize they're not telling us the truth, we can't undo the first truth. We can't get people in their own heads to stop thinking what they learned to think. Go ahead, Mark. First truth.
Yeah, just to pointed out around this is, you have chemicals in your brain. You have memories. Your memories are actually chemical storage. So without you knowing something ever, those chemicals, that memory's never been created. All right. Think about when you look at a color and it's between colors and you don't know the name of it. Your brain actually hiccups. You're sitting there going, what is that? What is that? What is that? That is you, your chemicals, trying to associate current memories. And then you got words. So all of these things are in our head, right? So what people do is they don't have interest to challenge anything coming into their eyes. And whenever you look at something, we should have discernment. We should capture every thought. We should be filtering what we see, but they don't. So it goes right into their eyes, and it gets written in a lower state. So if you don't believe it, and you really are interested in believing, study it, it's not getting written with the same persistence, but it's still getting written. So now your brain is aligned. Those chemicals exist. So the next time you hear something, you're going to deny it. Because it's okay. Written.
Okay, stay with me. I know y'all want to get in it. Please stay with me. I got to, boy, Lord, this is really good, Lord. God bless the Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing this, Lord. Man, oh man. Look, folks, I want you to see something. I'm on my stuff. Spencer, go and click on it says... Protocol.
Real quick, Coach.
Yes, go ahead. Protocol. Get that up there.
Stick on the protocol. I want to say something about this energy. What if, Coach, all the energy the pagans worship and Stephanie talks about monthly and all the power convergences, their convergences of power, what are those, Coach? Are they real or are they fake? If you ask Stephanie, she's going to say they're real.
Because they are real.
why are we so blind to think those powers don't influence us? Well, what are those powers? The pagans worship the earth. The earth has power. They are right. It is true. Guess what? The earth is affecting us too. When the moon sweeps around, doesn't it affect women? Doesn't it affect women every month when the moon goes around?
Yeah.
Right, all right, so we don't want to watch the sky. We don't want to look at this sky and see these things, but the power is affecting God's people too. So the idea, Coach, is to learn how these powers influence us and overcome them. The people who have no knowledge of these powers and these cyclic celestial events and the frequencies we get from certain stars, certain days of the year, and we charge up, regardless if you're pagan. And that's the part, the fallacy of part of Christianity is they don't recognize the powers of this earth that we must influence and be a part of to overcome the evil.
Amen.
If we know about them, we can overcome them, but we can't bury them and make fun of people that watch the sky.
Amen. Amen. Let me shift here, Mark. Thanks, Mark. That's really, really good. Because let me give you a for instance. I've given some of my family members this ivermectin and told them how to use it, told them what it's for, told them to use it as a prophylactic, meaning to take it. And I'm telling you, I might as well not even tell him because it's just me, right? Fauci says this, though, Dad. Fauci says this. It's not my own children, by the way. My own children are pretty good, right? I'm talking about First Truth, right? So I got a video posted at CoachDaveLive.com. Vladimir Zelenko. Can you make that a little bit bigger there for me? It's hard for us to read. So here he is. Zelenko Protocol is an innovator, 99% survival of high-risk COVID. He's not lost any patients. He's been nominated for the Presidential Medal of Honor, recognized as a hero at the U.S. Homeland Security Committee, published top peer-reviewed journals with world-known physicians, provided counsel to White House personnel, board-certified family practitioner for over 20 years. All of his research, you can go to his website. We'll put it in the link. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko gives you, here is his peer review protocol. See, where is that? Zelenko protocols. Click on it at the top there, Spencer. You want to know what to do for COVID? Zelenko, Dr. Zelenko, posts on his website his protocol. And he also puts his preventative, prophylactic protocol. There it is. There's his protocol. What do you suppose? Does he mention this stuff? Oh, yeah, he mentions this stuff. But Fauci doesn't. Bill Gates doesn't. Don Lemon doesn't. And we have these experts, Sherry Tenpenny, and nobody will listen to them. Nobody. Folks, we have to understand what it is we're fighting against, what we're working against, folks. Now, real quickly, I know y'all want to get in here, and I want y'all to get in here, okay? Put this in the link, Dr. Zelensky, his protocol. Put it in the link so people can go there, shows you what to do. He said, listen, if you get the COVID, Randy, you listening? If you get the COVID and you don't do anything about it for a week, you are in some serious trouble. If you just sit around and say, it's going to go away. He says, if you get this stuff in you, it'll be gone in 48 hours. But nobody will listen to it. Nobody will listen to it. Now, go, Spencer, quickly, go to the video. It says, it's on the video page. It's on our video page. Dr. Zelensky, not Sheila Zelensky. Dr. Zelensky, it's a Coach Dave Live. It's right there. You can click on it, man. And go to, there's two great videos, but this treating COVID, all right? Go to the 1 minute, 30 second mark. And I want you to hear Dr. Zelensky tell us, are you guys listening to me? That he believes within 3 years, 75% of people who've taken the shot are going to be dead. Now, when you say that, does anybody listen to you? Oh, where is it? There goes Dave. There goes Coach again. Oh, Coach. Why? Because we won't listen to you. Just go and play this real quick. This is on our website, folks. Go watch it.
And protocol, any of that. So from your perspective, a broad scope, a bird's eye view, your definition today, how would you describe COVID-19?
It's a bioweapon designed to isolate and humanity and create pathogenic fear, which then is manipulated by the stakeholders, manipulating human behavior into a course of action that is irrational.
The propaganda machine that is controlled, it seems, by world governments is really, to me, the most interesting thing. So in your opinion, how did this become such a lockstep threat across the entire planet?
It's not a threat. That's a psyop. Let me explain to you. Every human being on the planet got COVID-19 and were not treated. The death rate would be a little bit less than 0.5%. So that works out to be 7 billion people, 10 billion. 10% would be 700 million, 1% 70 million, and 0.5% 35 million people would die. However, with proven treatment protocols, which we have developed, the death rate would be reduced from 35 million to 5 million, which is a lot of people, and assuming that every single human being on the planet got it. The question is, how many people are dying from our supposed response of lockdown and global immunization? And I would argue that it's already far surpassed that number. And we are on the verge of a potentially genocidal event, according to world experts. For example, Dr. Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for discovering HIV, said that this is the biggest risk of genocide of the human race in history. Dr. Michael Yiddin, who was the vice president of Pfizer and the head of vaccine development for Pfizer, said for every one child that dies from COVID, 100 will die from the vaccine. And he also said, he was asked the following question. There's a professor, Dr. Dolores Cahill from Ireland. She said the following prediction. In her opinion, 90% of the people that got vaccinated will be dead within 2 years. He was asked about that statement. He said he wouldn't go that far. He feels it's 75% in 3 years.
Wow. There you go. And stop it right there. Folks, this is posted at CoachDaveLive.com. Hey, listen, you can go ahead and believe your pastor if you want to. You can go ahead and believe your mayor and your governor if you want to. They're telling you to take a jab that the experts are telling you is going to kill you, and you will not listen. I don't know what to say. Come on in, Reggie.
Thank you, Coach. Yeah, I love my ivermectin. just like Dr. Zielinski and Dr. Tenpenny, there are people out there that have been speaking truth, and they are speaking truth, but they shift your paradigm and you resist. And so going back to power, like him, he's saying it was a mass, panic. This is a Luciferian agenda.
It is harnessed.
Okay.
Reggie, wait, there's no devil, Reggie. There's no devil.
There is, because every morning I get to meet him when my prayers. Yes. So I'm praying to the Lord, but he's right there. So people there, I got to say this, because your church pastors and priests are not all part of this. And what energy can be harnessed. And I'm going to explain something to you. And it's really hard. I've met 3 people in 1 week that have just really resisted this to my face. And it's fine. You don't have to believe it. I have no agenda other than help of salvation of souls. So in church, your priests and pastors, not all, are Luciferian. I'm going to speak about the Catholic Church because I know this for sure. So mega churches are the same.
Infiltration.
They're creating power amongst the people. The people are so ignorant, they don't know. So they are banging on those drums and they are singing those songs. And guess what's happening? Energy. Guess what? If you look at a lot of your concerts of your famous Luciferians, they are on very high feast days of the calendar for a reason. They harness energy that you guys that are lukewarm do not realize that you are producing. And guess where they're harnessing that? There's a ritual going on somewhere, because there's initiations, there's agendas, and they're all covered and powered by energy, demonic energy.
All right, Reggie, I got to move on. Thanks for opening our eyes there, Reggie. Come on in, Chad, then Randy.
Well, the reason that I believe the church is powerless, and many believers are powerless because they haven't really surrendered to the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit on them. So they can't identify things. So how do you get the Holy Spirit? It's by submission.
Mm.
So if they believe, if you're just believers, see, I think you have believers and then you have Christians that I believe that they say, well, I believe in God. Well, yeah. So does the devil.
Trembles, he trembles.
That's not enough. That's not enough just to believe. Anyway, I don't want to get off the
note. No, thanks, Chad. So I got two texts. Sometimes people comment by text. That's Jeff, who taught us about Matthew 26, 26 or 26 days, says that's the main purpose of why we're doing it. He just texts me. People need to strengthen their relationship personally before they can war effectively. I'm going to say it again. You have to strengthen your own relationship with Jesus before you can war effectively. You can't casually know Jesus and wield the weapons effectively. Great, great point there, Jeff. And Stephanie said, negative energy is heavy. Did you ever walk in the room and say, ooh, there's a heaviness in there? You feel it. Did you ever walk into a room and it's light and energizing? Oh, there's great light. It's light in there. To be covered and filled with negative energy, which is anxiety, depression, fear, anger, literally fills you with dark, heavy energy. It weighs you down. It breaks you down. It makes you sick. It makes you weak. It seeps into the cracks in your armor to see. The only real cleanse is Jesus. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, you're nailing it. Every one of us are nailing it. We are speaking exactly what it is. But, Coach, I want to add my little point.
Oh.
Okay. Coach, if you're taught something and you have a doctrine that's wrong, you can't even go where we're talking about. It has stopped you right there. You're done. Okay. We have so many of these doctrines and teachings that have been taught for years that are out of context. Well, Coach, as soon as it's out of context, it nullifies the truth. It becomes the tradition of men that makes the word of God of none effect. Wow. That is what has happened. Everyone is nailing it. But, Coach, let me give you the example of what I'm talking about. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan was quoting him the word of God. And Jesus said, you're a liar. You're taking it out of context. So guess what happens? When you take the word of God out of context, you have nullified the truth. It's no longer truth, Coach. It's something else. And that's what we have. That's why the church is powerless.
Amen, Randy. Amen.
Well said, Randy. Dale, come in, then Jack.
Hallelujah, brother. You got to slay the dragons from within before you can slay them from without. But you were talking about fear, right? And the unbelieving. Remember, how come there's no power of God working in these areas? Remember, Gideon was in a wine press threshing out grain and the Spirit of the Lord. And he said, where are the miracles? Where are these? Because he was fearful. And he said, now go in this, because he identified and said, you know what? I'm afraid. But let's go to that Revelations 21:8, because in the King James Version, it's the exact reason why, Coach. But the fearful and the unbelieving. Who are the first two? The fearful or the cowards and the unbelieving. There's no power that's going to work in these people because they're not children of God. They're children of the devil. You know, the dullness, brother. I'm telling you, the scriptures that my family are reading every night, I'm looking at them last night. And I'm going, this is happening right now. This is happening right now. It's an incredible communion every night. But, Coach, there's a video out there that shows Biden and the rest of the administration all contradictory to the jab while Trump was president. But the second they become president, they're demanding it. This is the politics in it, and people don't even see it.
Let me give you an example. Michelle, I'm going to say it anyway, even though maybe you don't want me to. You know, you guys know the situation we've been having with our daughter and her pregnancy. And you know, she's whatever. They thought maybe the baby's stomach isn't operating properly. She's building up a lot of fluids, yada, yada, yada. So she goes to doctors, and doctors don't tell you the first truth. Can somebody say amen? You go to a doctor. Whatever a doctor said, there's a heaviness that comes with doctors. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Boy, there's a heaviness that comes with doctors. And so Maggie goes through her tests and all that, and they sit her down and say, oh, well, here's what's going on, blah, 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 and it's 15% of this. It could be 20% this. It could be that. And there has been a heaviness that has hung over our house for at least 3 weeks on the words of a doctor. And no matter how much I said, whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? We could not get that heaviness out of our home. It would not leave our home. It would not leave our family. It wouldn't leave our family. So yesterday, Maggie goes to the doctor, gets a couple tests. They, you know, there was a possibility of Down syndrome. She had a what do they call that, a chromosome test. She goes to the doctor yesterday, and what's the doctor say? It's not Down's. Baby's perfectly normal, other than the stomach issue. And you know what happened? A heaviness lifted. Right?
Coach, please look.
All on the word of a doctor who we don't even know.
Please let me jump in. I told my wife this a long time ago about doctors. They always give you a bleak, dark, negative report. Therefore, if anything turns out good, they are prompted up like gods.
Amen. Come on in, Jack.
Okay, two things. One, to respond to what Dale just said, the difference between God and doctors is God doesn't think he's a doctor. Okay? Okay, now, back to the original concept that you started this morning, Coach, on first concepts. Okay, I'm 72. I'm 15 years old. I seldom tell my dad, hey, I'm going to get a job. He says, no problem, but you got to have a Social Security number. He lied to me. He thought that was the case, but he told me bad information, and every one of you think that that's law. And it's not law, never been law. They said it would never be identification. And the first cards, Coach, yours is probably said on the back, said not for purposes of identification.
It does.
And everything you do requires your Social Security number for identification, and you believe it. And if I tell you not, you're gonna throw rocks at me. Rogers, yeah. Roger's gonna throw rocks at me right now through the phone. Don't, Roger, please. I'm innocent.
Right. Right. I'm with you. I'm with you, Jack. I'm with you.
That's how we believe stuff.
That's how we do. So what you think about the COVID rollout? What was the COVID rollout? Everybody's gonna die. That was the first truth, and we all swallowed it. Come on in, Naomi, then Kevin.
So around the 1700s, 1800s, scurvy was a severe issue that everybody thought, like nowadays they think cancer is normal. They thought scurvy was normal. Well, we still have scurvy today. We've just renamed it. But it took 50 years to educate the population and get them to change their mindset that all they needed was some lemon juice in their water, some vitamin C. Vitamin C took it, but it took 50 years to change that mindset.
So 50 years from now, I won't be wearing a mask. Come on in, Kevin.
Thanks, Coach. I got 2 points I want to make. Number one, back to the ivermectin that you were talking about. I was sick the same time Randy was, but not as bad as Randy. It was kind of a round two for me, not as bad as the year before, but bad enough. You know, I was sick for a good week and a half. Then you came out with the ivermectin. I went to the feed and need store, got some. I was cleared up in 48 hours. So I just want to testify to that. If anybody out there that doesn't have any, go get some.
Take it as a prophylactic. Dr. Zielinski says take it as a prophylactic.
Yep. And now my wife and I both take it as a prophylactic. I take it every other week. Gina takes it once a week because she's in the medical field.
Amen.
So the point two is when you were getting into why the pagans seem to have so much power and the church seems so powerless, okay? Of all the occultists and pagans I've known over the years, and I've known a few, the primary motivation always, without exception, with every single one of them was self-interest. They were in it for what they could get. If they were casting spells, It had something to do with something they wanted. Okay. I don't care if you're a Wiccan or a Satanist, self-interest is your prime motivator. Okay. What's the Satanist saying? Do what thou wilt, meaning do what you want. What's your self-interest motivator? So if we look at the modern American church, what is the predominant motivator for most Christians?
Selfishness.
Self-interest, right? Mm-hmm. And in Christianity, Christ taught us to die to ourselves, that self-interest and selfishness would not be the prime motivator, that selflessness would be.
Amen.
So this is why you see such lack of power. And it goes back to what Chad in Texas was saying, you know, the self-sacrifice and submitting yourself to the Lord. You can't be full of self-interest and still be, you know, have died to oneself. So, I mean, like I said, Christianity is antithetical to that. So that's my little two cents. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, Judy, come on in. Coach Norm's sister, Judy, first time in. Come on in, Judy.
Coach Dave, this is so wonderful. I've known you for a long, long time and through my brother, Norm. And just maybe a little short of a year ago, I don't know, God, the Holy Spirit led me to listen in and I haven't stopped and it's been awesome.
Awesome.
And I just want to say, Dave, last night I listened to two of Dr. Zelenko's videos. He is awesome.
Unbelievable.
So we're on the same page here and it was my opportunity to come into the...
Yeah, God bless you, Judy. I bet Norm's jumping up and down. Good,
love everybody. Best regards to the family. Maggie, yeah. I've been praying for her. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Hey, let me finish that. So Maggie's baby's going to be okay. She can't do a home delivery. She has to go to the hospital because of complications, but the baby's okay and they'll be able to fix it. But keep praying. But I'm believing that little baby was fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm believing that baby's going to come out and be perfect when it comes out. Debbie and then Sam.
Well, you know, I want to go back to why we don't, as Christians, fight against all of this. And I'm going to go back to what I said before when I was growing up. And truly, I was a baby Christian at 62. So they didn't teach us anything in my churches other than you just come on Sunday, believe in God, you tithe, and you go home. There's really no more required of you. You believe, you pray, you go to Sunday school, you participate in the activities. That's all that's required.
Yes, sir.
That's the way we're taught. So to change that in people's minds is huge.
It is. It's hard. That's what you're all fighting. The people you're trying to influence are listening to everybody else. Your grandpa, your dad, what is he? Uncle Larry's been crazy for you guys know Uncle Larry's been crazy for years. Why are you listening to Uncle Larry? Listen to Uncle Fauci. Come on in, Sam.
The old preacher said, y'all got it all backwards. Backwards. All right, Ecclesiastes 10:1. Which has more power? Is it easier to stay clean or is it easier to stay dirty? It's definitely harder to stay clean.
It is.
10:1 Ecclesiastes, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor.
Wow.
So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. It's so easy to get dirty and it's so hard to stay clean. And I love the gridiron, Coach, but a couple of unfair advantages that those on the arena and the sands of battle and the battlefields of the world do not have. The football field is A, flat, and B, everybody, the goal is real obvious. You get a bunch of guys out on the football field and they're just milling around, they got to be pretty remedial. It's obvious where you're trying to go. But in the kingdom of God, we're not dealing with positive and negative. We're not dealing with equal forces.
No.
And everybody has got it backwards. That's why part of what I teach every day is separating from ourselves things that are unclean, when the broad flow of Christian modern theology is to go find a leper, bring him inside your perimeter, and give him a big hug. And that's going to make everybody leprous. So... I just want to point to two different Deuteronomy 20 and Deuteronomy 21. And I'd like to just give this as an assignment and the answer to the very clear question that you set out. Why do we so often find ourselves punching up, fighting uphill against the wind? Well, here's the thing. It's hard. What's courage or cowardice? Lots of people say courage is contagious. And if anybody's taking that position, I forgive you and the Lord forgives you. But what the Bible says is that cowardice is contagious. Yeah. And that when you find the coward in your group, you find the guy that's like, oh, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. And they were so big. And he send that guy home.
Get him out of the huddle.
Get him on the bench. And here's what the Word of God says, Deuteronomy 28. I just want to share a couple quick verses here. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart.
Cowardice is contagious, baby. Cowardice is contagious.
That's what's contagious, is cowardice. This is the filth. This is the leprosy. This is the dead fly. It just takes one little dead fly to make the perfume to ruin it. And everybody thinks they got it all backwards. Deuteronomy 21 talks about unsolved crimes. And hey, I hate what happens to unborn babies in the United States of America. But it's so easy to get on that bandwagon when every city has unsolved crimes that are covered up. Deuteronomy 21:9 says, so shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And then this talks about the Lord going forth to war with us against our enemies. And this is why, this is what I teach on every day, is how do we get the Lord to go with us? And it has to do with separating out, getting rid of the idols, getting rid of the filthy stuff. It's so much easier to be dirty than to be clean.
So, Sam, we're fighting right now under blood guilt. All the abortions, all the child trafficking, we are fighting under blood guilt, folks. We have to purge ourselves of this land. Sam, I'm glad you're on our team. Glenn, come on in.
Wow, Sam, that was really good. I'm going to have to start tuning into you to find out a little bit more about that. But I was reading Isaiah, and I came across Isaiah 30. Verse 1, take a look at that. You know, I've been telling my brothers and sisters, okay, don't get the vaccine. Now, this is going way back now, okay? And, you know, a lot of my siblings aren't Christian.
Yeah, but who are you, Glenn? You're just why would they believe you, Glenn?
Well, that's it. That's the thing, okay? But what is it? Look at what it says in Isaiah 30, verse 1.
Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel from Fauci, but not from me, and that cover with a covering, but they don't cover with my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Because you know what, Glenn? If my kids got to start listening to me on this, then they may have to start listening to me on this. And then they may have to start listening to me on this, right? But see what they're going to say on this thing. So, well, Uncle Dave was, he was lucky. He got this one right. He got this one right.
Well, I'm just thankful for the wisdom of everyone in the queue, Coach, and you, and because the Lord opened my eyes early to see the truth.
Amen.
I thank everybody for that.
Hey, folks, I Spencer, did you put Vladimir Zelensky in the queue there? Please, good. So the link's in the chat, folks. And by the way, please go to CoachDaveLive.com and watch the video that he does with Stu Peters. Folks, it's undeniable. It's undeniable what's going on. You can believe it or not believe it. You're the one that chooses to believe. You are. The truth sets you free, not lies. I can believe I'm 6 foot tall, but I'm not. I can believe I'm a transgender, but I'm not. It's the lies that put you in bondage, not truth never puts you in bondage. Truth always sets you free. Come on in, Craig.
Hey, Coach, one is... It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, right? So I guess they have first truth also. Two, Stephanie is very right. Okay. There's very high pagan holidays But I want to take you back to very high religious holidays ordained by God, the seven feasts. I want to take you to chapter 16 of Leviticus. And this is what happened to Aaron's two oldest sons, okay? Because they were Levitical priests, and they got zapped because they went into the high holy place when they aren't supposed to. So I'm just going to read the first few verses of chapter 16, and I'm going to go to verse 29. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother, don't come in just at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in a cloud above the mercy seat. And I'm going to take you to number 29, verse 29. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict the souls and do no work, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath, a solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. That's the day of atonement, okay? And I want to go to the very end of the chapter. It says, this shall be a everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. The day started on August 8th. That's the month preceding. This is the sixth month. The seventh month will be around September 8th. And so September 18th is the Day of Atonement. So in the spiritual realm, they understand these times. They understand where we are in a religious sense, okay? Because these are God's high holy days, all right? These are the three feasts that Jesus hasn't fulfilled yet. So I just want to just kind of dovetail what Stephanie's saying. That's why you're seeing this happen right now.
Amen. Thank you. Good word, Craig. Larry, come on in, then Jack, then Jeff.
Yeah, you know, earlier you mentioned about Jesus couldn't do many miracles in his own hometown because of lack of belief, which also could be called doubt. And then you're saying, you know, wow, we hear stuff and the source is more important to us than the information we hear. We receive stuff said by Fauci, but you know, if it's a different source, then we don't assign as much of authenticity to it. And we in this queue pretty much understand exactly what you're talking about and realize that what you're saying is not proper behavior. I mean, you should evaluate things on the basis of facts and truth, not the source of it. And yet we ourselves, and myself included, we are guilty of doing just exactly what we're pointing out the problem is because a lot of times there's things that I know, and there's people, there's a lot of people in this queue and listening right now that have ideas and have even projects they're working on, and they're trying to get others to come up and go with them, but they're not important people. They're not in the limelight. They don't have the instant credibility that a big name would have. And yet I myself overlook certain opportunities to put my shoulder to their wheel and help push it. And we need to start looking for those opportunities, because if we don't change the way we do stuff, we're going to keep getting the same stuff shoved down our throats.
Well, that's that paradigm we're stuck in, Larry. I couldn't agree with you more. If Tim Tebow says it, let's do it. If Jeff Klein says it, that's just Jeff Klein. Hey, listen, my wife, the ever school teacher, says, honey, it's Zelenko, not Zelensky. Dr. Zelenko, not Zelensky. I probably won't have any breakfast now. Zelenko, not Zelensky. Come on in, Jack, then Jeff.
Okay, where's Sam? Sam, put your face back up there. Hey, you want to talk about the blood? How about and first knowledge, first information? How about the Korean War, not Vietnam War, not Desert Storm, not Afghanistan, not how many people died on those not wars that are only for the military industrial complex? And The next one is, I guess I was gone for a couple minutes, so I missed the first part of what Sam said, because I had a call come in that was very disturbing. I'll tell you guys about it after the show.
All right. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, I shared with you, well, just what you were saying, I shared with you what the Christian man on the board told me. I was too judgmental. If I want them people to listen to me, don't be so judgmental. Well, then yesterday morning, Tom Branstow calls me. He said, you see what they put on? They got the internet newspaper there in town called Knox Pages. Some young girl's been at both school board meetings. She's probably 23 years old, young kid. She prints in there at the end of the article all the good stuff about the school. And then down at the bottom, last paragraph, Mr. Beach and Mr. Klein criticized our schools on their equity and inclusiveness. I'm like, are you serious? But that's the way it is. Now, people will believe that. They'll all be, oh, see on Knox Pages? But that's
they don't even know what those words mean. They just know they're not good.
Yeah.
Those words not good. And it's all just, man, are we out of time already?
That's right, Jack.
Criminy, criminy. So where do I go from here? Where do I go? Folks, look, there's a couple really, really good videos. In fact, I'm going to put another one up. You got to watch on our website, the video, most recent one from Cliff High. Cliff High. You want to be encouraged. Again, can you throw it up there, Spence? There you go. Thanks, buddy. This was done by Greg Hunter. Cliff High interview. Unbelievable about what's going on financially and some other things like that. I said this the other day. I'm not a financial guru, okay? Please, I'm not a financial guru. Listen to me. Invest your money in something other than bank, something other than the stock market, something other than whatever. Buy land, buy food, buy something that has some tangible quality to it. Because one of the things Cliff High talks about is at some point, friends, listen to me, at some point they're flipping the switch and the dollar as the world's reserve currency is going to go away. And then when the dollar goes away as a world currency, we'll still have the dollar, but it is going to become less and less valuable. And the dollar will buy more today than at any time from here on. You guys hear what I'm saying? If you've got $100,000 sitting in the bank, it will be $20,000 in 2 years. Now, wait a minute. It'll still be $100,000, but it'll only buy $20,000. You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's called purchasing power, Coach.
Thank you, Jeff.
Purchasing power.
Purchasing power. Gold, silver, tangible things. Listen, gold and silver have always been God's money. It's always been God's money. Is it still going to be God's money? I don't know, but I can promise you this. It isn't going to be the Federal Reserve note, friends. It isn't going to be the Federal Reserve note. Now, I'm not here to tell you what to spend it on, but I'm here to tell you, spend it on something tangible. Buy something you own that has value. You say, yeah, but Coach, real estate's so high. This would be the worst time to buy. No. It is the worst time to buy in some way. But when it crashes, you'll still have the real estate. No matter what the value of it is, you will still own it. Will it be worth $1 million that you bought it for? Maybe it'll only be worth $100,000, but you'll have it. You'll own it. That same crash, it's going to cause housing values to go down 50%, it's going to affect the money in the bank as well. And the money in the bank that you've lost, you got nothing to show for it. At least if you bought a property. Am I making sense? I'm making sense. We got to be wise. Come on. We have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We have to understand what's going on around us. We have to stop. See, it's first truth, right? First belief. Social Security is going to always be there. Oh, yeah, right. My pension's going to always be. Really? Well, ask the truckers. Ask the truckers if their pension's there. Ask my brother, Kaiser Lumen. Hey, Dan, is that pension still there? Is that pension? See, they tell you a lie at the beginning. You swallow it, and then you never, ever shake your head and get your eyes unstuck. We are living in perilous, perilous times. What a time to be alive. This is going to be our greatest hour, our finest hour. Folks, if you're watching this show, you are leap years ahead of the people around you. They have no idea what's going on. You do. Are you going to let them influence you, or are you going to influence them? Hey, what Martin Luther say? Here I stand. I can do no more. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.